gentlemen, get ready. It's time for The Doug Dayton Show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doug Dayton Show. I'm so thrilled and excited that you decided to join me today. We've got a great show in store for you. Hey, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we live in a world that is obsessed with the zombie apocalypse. Maybe you've heard of a little show called The Walking Dead. There were 15.8 million viewers who tuned in to see the saga of Rick and his son, Coral. This show takes you to the brink of an emotional roller coaster every week, and so many people are almost addicted to that, to the degree that there are actually real news agencies that are reporting on activities that could be perceived as the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. There's a story that's circulating on News 8 Now right now saying that last weekend there was a group of people who went to a haunted house and they got a little bit more than what they bargained for. They stumbled onto what they thought was a part of the show in the Fright Night Haunted Dreams attraction in Austin, Texas. Now, there were hundreds of people that were looking for a scare for the Halloween season, but on Friday night, this haunted dream maze turned into a reality for one teenage boy. Eyewitnesses say they were halfway through the macabre haunted house when they came across a scene with a crazy-looking man biting into his victim, which was sprawled out in a dirty bathtub. Now, at first, this was just another scene within a haunted maze, but as the people looked closer, they saw that the young boy was screaming for his life and was really in excruciating pain. For one witness, Paul Calloway, he said it was much too real. "I don't think I can put into words what I saw. It will haunt my dreams forever. The man bit into the dude's arm and I could literally see tendons being pulled out. The screams were unlike anything I've ever heard before. This boy was in some serious pain." I mean, imagine being eaten alive. And it gets even better. Mike Sullivan, a Texas gun owner with the concealed weapons permit, said that he had no second thoughts about taking action immediately.
"I unholstered my weapon and drew on this creep, and I got about 1 foot away from him and shot him once in the leg and once in the arm, just enough to make him stop until the police arrived."
Police and emergency response teams arrived on the scene within minutes, but it was too late for the young teenage boy, whose name had not yet been released. He was dead when the medical staff arrived. We do know that he was a 17-year-old boy from Austin, Texas. Officers took 28-year-old Philip Harris into custody, where he is currently being held without bond in solitary confinement at an Austin, Texas jail under close supervision of officers and medical staff. The haunted attraction has been closed indefinitely. There is a firestorm of comments that have popped up out of the woodwork regarding this, and the problem is that they proved that this is not a true story on Snopes. But unfortunately, people are running with this like this is the gospel. They think it is the undisputed truth, and they are commenting, posting, and referencing this article like it's going out of style. So, since everybody's so focused on the zombie apocalypse, we're going to do
Top 10 Tuesday.
Talk about the top 10 life lessons that you can learn from the zombie apocalypse. Coming up next on The Doug Dayton Show.
Where two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. Oh, for all who come, who run to Him in faith.
is such an incredible song. That was There Is Power from Lincoln Brewster. Well, it's time. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for the top 10 life lessons that you can learn from the zombie apocalypse. Number 10. When the world sees you as a pizza boy, you need to see yourself as an overcomer. So, although it's the zombie apocalypse, which isn't necessarily a place that's filled with laughter, there had to be a character that would give the audience some comic relief or maybe even an opportunity to cleanse their palate from people getting stabbed in the head, and that job kind of belonged to Glenn. Now, I realize that the zombie apocalypse will change a person, but Glenn was an overcomer. I don't know if you remember, but back when he was on a run to find some formula for Judith, Maggie and Glenn were kidnapped by Merle and taken Woodbury as prisoners, and after being tortured and beaten while tied to a chair, Merle decided to finish Glenn off by letting a walker eat him alive. Glenn, however, decided that rather than being eaten, he was going to be an overcomer. So he shows everyone that he's not willing to roll over and die that easily, and he literally fights the zombie off with both of his hands tied behind his back before pushing a piece of the broken chair into the zombie's head. So as if that wasn't cool enough, the scream of anger that Glenn lets out after piercing the zombie's face is probably one of the best moments in the entire series. But from that moment, Glenn changed from a boy into a man. He was willing to get his hands dirty with the other members, and from that point forward, he was seen as an equal to Rick and Daryl. So, let's Bible that. The Greek word that's most often translated to overcomer stems from the word Nike, which according to Strong's Concordance means to carry off the victory. Now, this verb implies a battle. The Bible teaches Christians to recognize that the world is a battleground, not a playground. God does not leave us defenseless, though. Just like Glenn learned to adapt to his surroundings and utilize the weapons, Ephesians 6 verse 11 through 17 describes the armor of the Lord available to all believers, and scattered throughout this narrative is the charge to stand firm. Sometimes all that it takes to overcome temptation is to stand firm and refuse to be dragged into it. James chapter 4 verse 7 says this, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." An overcomer is someone who resists sin no matter what lures that Satan uses. Now number 9 and number 8 come from the same story, so they kind of go hand in hand. Number 9, sometimes your promised land does not look the way that you think that it should. Everybody's on this mission to make it to Atlanta to get to the disease control center, and they all have this motivation to get there, believing that that is their promised land, the place where they will find their salvation. And as they make the journey to Atlanta, they realize that it is infested with zombies, that there's no resolution. They finally make it to the Center for Disease Control, and they're pounding on the door, trying to get someone to let them in. And finally, someone lets them in, and when they walk in, much to their amazement, the facility is almost completely empty. All the folks that used to hustle and bustle trying to contain and control all the world's diseases are no more. There's finally one doctor that makes his way from the shadows, Dr. Jenner, and he is the last remaining scientist at the facility. And as they feel like they've made it to this place that can potentially be a safe haven for them, Dr. Jenner tells them that the building is going to explode once the generators run out of fuel. And that was a safety measure to make sure that no deadly pathogens escape the facility. But Dr. Jenner has resolved that he's just going to stick around and go down with the ship. Now, most of the people decide they do not want to get blown to smithereens. But there are a couple people that were in this party that whine about how hard life is, and they were so discouraged that their promised land did not look the way that they wanted it to, that they decided that they wanted to dive. So let's Bible this. I have two scriptures that will encourage you, and the first one comes from Psalms chapter 118, verses 6 through 9, and it says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." You might think that your promised land is the culmination of everything that you've worked for in your life, but at some point or another in your life, you're going to be let down. And it's those times when it's important for you to remember that your trust is not in castles, that your trust is not in man, but your trust lies in the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 actually has a great principle that says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes." Now, you might look at your life circumstances and situations and think to yourself, "I do not see that scripture coming to pass in my life." Sometimes you have to speak the scripture over your life and just believe that God is powerful enough to bring His word to pass. You might not realize how, when, or why, but you need to realize that God is at work for the good of those that love Him. Number 8. Everyone is infected. One of the most interesting things in the entire Walking Dead series to me is how Rick deals with the information that Dr. Jenner gives him. So there's this moment where it's Rick and Jenner, and he tells Rick that everyone has the virus, meaning if anyone dies, eventually they're going to become a zombie. And it's a secret and a burden that Rick carries with him right up until the end of the season, because he's just not sure how the others in the group are going to react to it. Let's Bible that. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's a famous text and one that everybody should try to learn. Some of you probably know it already. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In many ways, it's similar to several of the other verses in the Bible that talk about the infection of sin in our lives. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." In Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, "There's not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins." Proverbs 29, "Who can say I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin." And Psalm 143:2 says, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you." Now, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, but it is important for you to realize that no matter how good that you think you are still infected by sin, and there is only one cure to that infection, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, I hope you're having half as much fun hanging out with me as I'm having hanging out with you. Here's Matthew West with Grace Wins.
In my weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here come those whispers in my ear, saying, "Who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here." 'Cause grace could never reach that far. But in the shadow of that shame, down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying it's not over, and my heart starts to beat so loud now, drowning out the doubt. I'm down but I'm not out. There's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space, but I'm living through
mercy floods a thirsty soul. The broken side begins to heal, and grace returns what guilty stole. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar, grace wins. For always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street, grace wins. For the worst part of you and me, grace wins. For the thief on the cross, and they're fighting for a sacred space. But I'm living proof, grace wins every time. Yeah, no more lying down in death's defeat. Now I'm rising up in victory, singing hallelujah, grace wins every time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doug Dayton Show. Today we're talking about the top 10 life lessons that you can learn from the zombie apocalypse. We're to lesson number 7, and that is never let your guard down. It never ceases to fail me whether people are taking up residence in the prison thinking that they have fortified themselves to the point where nobody's going to be able to get them, or whether it's Woodbury or whatever. A fortress can always be penetrated, and the moment that you let your guard down is the moment that someone will try to penetrate your fortress. The Bible says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. It also says in Matthew 24:43, but understand this, if the owner of a house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, then he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So let's take that from a fortress perspective and translate it to a moral perspective. It blows my mind when I see Christians continually put themselves in stupid situations. If you're trying to live for the Lord and the Lord has delivered you from a certain lifestyle or from an addiction, it is not smart to continually surround yourself with the situation that you just walked yourself out of. If you continually put yourself in a position to compromise, sooner or later, if you lay down with a dog long enough, you're going to get up with fleas. Am I saying don't reach out to your friends and family members? Absolutely not. What I am saying is use wisdom in where you choose to invest your life. Number 6 and number 5, I'm going to tie together because they also go hand in hand. Not everyone that you consider to be a friend is a friend, and not everyone that you consider to be an enemy is an enemy. I'm going to apply this to judging character. Now, anytime that you talk about judging, some people get all weird and whiny and they say things like, "Only God can judge me." And yes, that's true. On the day of judgment, God is going to judge you. But we as Christians can know or identify whether a person is godly or not by their character and by their fruit, which is their word and their actions. We can identify and judge whether or not they have good character or bad character. Matthew chapter 7, 15 through 20, Matthew 12, 33, and Luke chapter 6, 43 all deal with that. Take a look at it. It's good stuff. But we can judge what is right and what is wrong. Jesus gives an awesome charge in Luke chapter 12, verse 56 and 57. He says, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the skies. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Check it out. Read it with your own eyes." Luke 12, 57. Why don't you judge for yourself what is right? We live in a world that has lost their moral compass and does not know how to judge what is right and what is wrong. Thankfully, we have a Bible to instruct us and tell us what is right, what is wrong, and we're to judge rightly, justly, and accordingly to God's judgments, not man's wisdom or outward appearances. For those of you that want to Bible that, you can take a look at John 8:26, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16, 2 Corinthians 10:6. But as spiritual people, we judge, examine, investigate, and estimate all things. Read 1 Corinthians 2:15. So, not everybody that you would consider to be a friend is a friend, and not everyone that you consider to be an enemy would be an enemy. Number four, when you stop moving forward, your entire world comes unraveled. It never ceases to amaze me, no matter how many times the folks on The Walking Dead find a place that they consider to be home and they settle down and they stop moving forward, they stop making progress, then one little thing will happen, someone will let the zombies in the gate or someone will die inside, and next thing you know, their entire world, their entire system of living comes unraveled. Now, there are hundreds of leadership axioms that you can consider for this, such as, whenever you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, and the moment that an organization stops progressing, it starts dying. There's a lot of different principles and a lot of different perspectives on the exact same thing, and that is, you have to be moving forward in life. You can't just sit in neutral and expect to grow. So it's a good practice to consider your options and move forward in your life, because the moment that you stop moving forward is the moment that your world comes unraveled. Number three, and I'm going to handle this one with kid gloves because I know that it is a very touchy subject for people that are fans of the show. Number three is, sometimes Sophia is in the barn. For those of you that don't watch the show, there's this little girl that's a part of the crew and everyone falls in love with her. And in a zombie chase scene, she becomes separated from the group, and everybody is vested in finding this sweet little girl, and they mount this huge search effort that takes place over the course of several episodes. Everybody's living on this farm at this time, and that's a whole nother story in itself. But meanwhile, while they're looking for this little girl, it's discovered that Herschel and the crew of people that have been on the farm have been capturing zombies and keeping them in this barn that's like 100 yards away from the house that they're staying in. Now, they have good intentions. They hope and believe that a cure can be found to bring these people back from the edge of zombiehood. But Rick and his crew find out about this, and man, they go in like a gangbuster, and this guy busts the lock, and everybody just unloads their weapons and starts shooting all these zombies. And man, I could stop right there and give you about 10 life lessons from this one circumstance about skeletons in your closets or zombies in your barns. But I would really like to hear actually what your life lesson suggestions are. So I want to encourage you to go to DougDayton.org. Click on any of the social media links in the top right-hand corner and DM me or tag me with your ideas, and I might use them in a follow-up show. But the life lesson that I want to focus on right here, again, spoiler alert, is sometimes Sophia is in the barn. Sometimes people spend their whole lives chasing after a person or a thing, trying to make themselves happy. Sometimes people can't see or hear what's right in front of them. Sometimes it's an opportunity or something that they perceive that they're looking for. Has this ever happened to you? You start looking around trying to find your keys, panicking, you only realize that you've had them in your hand the whole time? Or maybe someone asks you for something and you give it to them. Maybe they ask you for an answer and you tell them and they don't see it or they don't hear it. Somehow, some way, it does not register. And that's because they have a belief. Either they believe that you don't have an answer, or that you can't have the answer, or that you can't have the answer right here, right now. What has happened in this situation is they have developed a mental blind spot. And there's a technical term for that. It's called a scotoma. And we often build our own scotomas. These mental blind spots can keep us from seeing the things that are right in front of us. Our beliefs will filter our communication. Man, beliefs are powerful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am out of time. So if you'd like to hear the top two life lessons that you can learn from the zombie apocalypse, I want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. Hey, ending on the power of beliefs. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, or if you would like to know more about God, I want to encourage you to go to www.dougdayton.org and click on the Life tab. Lots of great information there. Hey, also, we'll be doing Whacked Out Wednesday tomorrow, hearing about some of the crazy things that are taking place around our world and how they apply to us. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Doug Dayton Show. Thanks for hanging out with me. God bless you and have a fantastic day.
Thanks, Doug. What a great show. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website. You can connect with us on social media, submit prayer requests, and find more information about Doug and the show at www.dougdayton.org. That's www.dougdayton.org.